You are listening to Destiny Pizza.
Today is Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. It is week 130 of Destiny Pizzas. I'm Drew Patel.
I'm Mike Sedesco.
11-11.
Veterans Day.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have school today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that how it... Oh, it's all, wait.
No, I don't think so. I think there's just so many veterans at in the Cal State program that they're like, we need to get this day off now.
Oh,
I think maybe with the war turning down and everything, everyone's just like, you know, we need to respect our veterans.
Oh.
I actually befriended a veteran who wants to be on this podcast.
Oh.
And I was like, after the semester is done, you can come on.
Nice.
And I need to clean up this room. Because I don't want him to be like, this is what you fought for. Living the American dream.
Exactly.
He's like, I forgot what he said. He was like, I can't promise you I'll know everything you're talking about, but I can talk for hours. And I was like, that's the whole motto
of
the podcast.
You don't need to know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
We just went on a whole Harry Potter thing about this Fantastic Beasts. We don't know anything about it.
No.
We're just going off on weird.
I know he watches Game of Thrones, though. Big Game of Thrones guy.
Ooh.
Unfortunately,
that's what I'm saying. When people come on, we tell them we can gear it towards what you want to talk about.
That's what I always tell people.
That's the whole thing. We don't like, we have news, but then we can just touch on a point and then like go off on a weird tangent of whatever we want. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's
so,
podcasting. There's no rules.
No.
No FCC.
Yeah. Did you watch any movies this week?
I saw Maze Runner Scorch Trials.
How was that?
Which is the second, I think it's just called Scorch Trials.
I think it's just called the Scorch Trials.
All the stuff they always, like, we got to put the first movie title in because people aren't going to get that it's part of this.
That happened this morning.
Did the Hunger Games, it happened?
No, like, to me, my mom was talking, and she's like, what's that movie where it's all the teenagers and they're separated into groups and they have to become warriors and they're jumping off trains and stuff? And I'm like, I don't know, Mom. Like, are you sure you're not talking about the Hunger Games? And she's like, no, it's like the Hunger Games, but it was supposed to be one movie and they split it into two movies. And I'm like, I was like, are you sure you're not talking about the Hunger Games? And she's like, yeah, there's a girl, the main character, but it's not Jennifer Lawrence. And I'm like,
Divergent.
Like, yeah, it was Divergent.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, what's the second one called? And I'm like, Convergent. And she's like, okay, how
insurgent.
Do you spell it? It wasn't Convergent. It's Insurgent. Yeah, you're right.
The other one is
At first I was saying, yeah, the next one's Allegiant. And then after that, it's Ascendant.
Yeah.
But first I thought it was Divergence.
Yeah.
But it's Divergent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's why they always title it this first movie again, because they're like, people aren't going to get this.
Yeah.
Just like Star Wars, they're like, we can't just
call it... Where's the episode number?
We can't just call it Return of the Jedi. We got to call it Star Wars. We can't call it The Force Awakens. People are going to be like, what is this?
What's this? What?
What force is waking?
What force is awakening? Like, you're forcing me to wake up?
I don't get this. You're forcing me to awaken. Is this a vampire movie?
Yeah, is this some sort of weird... The worst part of my day is when someone forces me to wake up and I don't wake up naturally?
Damn, it's all about alarm clocks. They're forcing me to be awake.
It's just 2 hours of alarm clocks.
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. It's someone literally just pushing you out of your bed. Anyway, so how's the Maze Runner Scorch Trials?
The Maze Runner was better for me. Because the whole point of the Maze... The part I liked about the Maze Runner, the first one, is that they just start you on the maze and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 15 minutes reveals everything that's going on. And then this whole movie is like, we're just in that world now. And you're like, yeah, but there's no mystery to what's going on in this movie.
Oh, wait, actually, this has something I can connect with this.
Oh, yeah.
With my review of a video game I played this week.
Yeah. So, like, now that I'm there, I'm like... Like, the build, you know, like, sometimes you'll watch something that has a twist at the end, and the build-up was more fun than the twist.
Yeah. That's, like, almost M. Night Shyamalan built his career on that.
Yeah. So...
Oh, wait, no, the build-up was more fun than
more
the twist?
More fun. Like,
oh,
sometimes
never mind.
The twist is really good.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the twist is really good.
The problem with M. Night Shyamalan is the build-up isn't very enjoyable, and the twist isn't very enjoyable either.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, currently. But this was, like, the build-up, and then, like, oh, it could have been way... more awesome or whatever, but it's fine because it's just like it's just very similar to like the Hunger Games. It's all post-apocalyptic world and
more like kids are facing each other.
Yeah,
like, where are the adults in this world?
Yeah, so I mean the adults show up in this one, but you're like,
why are you such dicks, adults?
Adults
what
are
you
always
running
dicks,
the maze?
And then like sometimes And then this one's weird because I, like, don't even sympathize with the kids sometimes. And I'm like, I don't really understand. Because the whole thing is, like, there's a disease and they're trying to, like, cure it and stuff.
By running through a maze?
I still don't quite understand it. I don't know if the books tell you more if they're, like, if they're taking three movies to build up to that. I still don't quite get it.
Is this based off one book or is it three books?
I'm not sure. Or is it, like... I think it's multiple books.
Okay.
But maybe if you read the books, these movies are more enjoyable.
I doubt it.
But probably not. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just, it's just, like, so basic and, I don't know, not so great.
Okay.
But,
you heard it from him?
Yeah, I mean, but this, like, yeah, it's just strange to me.
Okay. You want to move on to TV?
There's zombies in it.
That's cool.
But, which, they're kind of cool.
Are they fast zombies or slow zombies?
Fast zombies. Yeah, they're fast zombies.
Cool.
But,
do they look like people? Or is it like, oh my god, that's my brother?
Some of them look more like people, and some people are like totally have been there for a while.
Interesting. So,
yeah, it's just like they're trying to, some people are trying to find a cure, and then like they're like, but we don't want to be prisoners. I don't know, it's weird. It's like, sometimes I agree with, oh, they're trying to find a cure, I agree with those people, and then I agree with them that kind of, they don't want to be prisoners, but it's also like,
you have to find a cure. Greater,
yeah, so it's kind of waffling, like, sometimes I don't agree with even the characters I'm supposed to be rooting for the whole time. That's a big problem with me. I'm like, yeah, but I don't like some of these people.
Yeah, it's like me with The Circle. Don't watch The Circle, because I think you're going to feel the same about that, because you're like, this little girl shouldn't survive till the end, because she just saw, like 30-something people die.
But you get the satisfaction in horror movies of, oh, they're killing the people I think
should be
killed.
Yeah, you don't see any people.
Or in these movies, I assume they're going to succeed. So I'm like, but I may not want them to succeed.
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like a terribly made movie. It's just that the story's not that compelling to me, personally.
What do you review it or rate it?
Probably 3.
Out of 8?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been watching great movies recently. I need to watch a movie I know is going to be amazing, because I think all my reviews recently have been like 4s or below. So
yeah.
Get into this bad funk.
Well, that's something I should try to do. Or someone else should do it for me.
That'd be easier.
That'd be even better. Like go through and see like a rate like on an Excel spreadsheet.
We should have just done this from the beginning.
We should have.
It was like,
I couldn't even maintain a list of all the movies we've recommended on Netflix. So
true. Yeah. We're thinking too highly
for what we can do. I'm like, we're putting out a podcast.
Yeah. We're just adding more work on top of everything else.
Let's talk about some TV shows.
Yes.
So, what'd you see?
Watched a bunch of superhero stuff. Supergirl, second episode.
I did not watch this. I forgot.
What I liked is that we were talking about pivoting. So in the pilot, they're like, they seem to be going out of their way, we're not going to say Superman.
Yeah.
This episode, they're like, we're going to say Superman as many times as possible.
Oh, no.
Not like...
This seems like Gotham all over again to me. I'm like, this is such a great premise. Pilot was great. And then they're like, second episode, Batman, 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 Batman. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is too much Batman.
Yeah, but I don't think they like overkill it. They were just trying to overcompensate, I think, for the lack of it in the pilot, that they're like, screw it. We're just going to say, Superman's over there. Whatever. He is over there. Let's use the word Superman. It's going to be really weird if we just keep calling him Big Guy and Man of Steel and whatever. So they say, but like they only do it for like the first 15 minutes of the episode, where to me it was really noticeable, because they're just like, we're going to say Superman a bunch of times. But so they did that. And I really liked the episode, though, because it was showing how she's still really a novice at being a superhero, and she like screws up, and there's like this oil rig
that she, does like, anyone die?
I don't think anyone dies, but they're like, oh, we're like,
was the oil rig similar to that one in Man of Steel?
It was like a shipyard.
You see her with a beard, and
yeah, no, because they know she's there. But there's like a fire. She can't quite use her breath to put it out. They're like, Superman would have done this already.
Oh, like she's not powerful enough to use her breath.
She just doesn't know how to control it, because she hasn't used her powers in like 12 years.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So she doesn't really know how to control everything. So they're like, Superman would have done it already.
They say that to her?
Yeah.
Wow, what a piece of...
And I'm like, jeez, are you kidding me?
Leave no witnesses.
Yeah, so they're all being like assholes.
That's why I'm a supervillain. That's why I'm part of Slytherin House and everything. I'm just like, you know what? You don't appreciate me? You die.
Exactly. So she's like, oh, I can't put out the fire, so I'll just move the rig. She moves the rig, but then a bunch of oil spills into the ocean. And then they're all pissed. They're like, yeah. Aquaman comes out of there. She's like, ah!
Like, Khal Drogo. He's like, I'm not Khal Drogo anymore.
Yeah, so everyone's mad at her. The paper's going, like, why is she taking on too big of things? Like, this is, like, she should start on smaller things. So that happens. And there was a cool... They revealed kryptonite. They're like, they had this kryptonite room at the DEO where they're like, we can do this room at like 18% kryptonite. So now you can train with you.
She just was like resistance training.
Yeah, almost. She was fighting with her sister. So she's like, okay, now we're like at an even level. So like, you got to learn how to fight people with power. So she's like, oh, if we're fighting at the same level,
oh, interesting,
it'll help you train. So I thought that was a cool wrinkle to put into there. And then like, it looks like every episode it's going to be similar to The Flash where a villain breaks out. Like, there's a villain around from the Phantom Zone. They got to track it down and, like, get him. So basically that's what happens this episode. There's, like, this bug villain dude, and they had to track him down.
Is that, like, Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black?
Kind of. He had to eat, like, DDT or something to stay alive.
That's weird.
They're like, the government's getting rid of DDT because it's poisonous, so he's only got a limited supply to go after.
Oh, wow.
So they like put bait and they track him down. Yeah, it was really weird. But they're like, oh, he can... They get over the whole making him a bug the whole time. They're like, oh, but he can take human form or something.
Huh.
I was like, okay, I guess.
That's
but it's
weird.
Like, it's always... It's different alien species and there's a bunch of Kryptonians there too and stuff. Because like everyone's out of the Phantom Zone or whatever.
Yeah. Interesting.
So
that's cool.
I liked it. It's good. It's a lot of fun. It's like The Flash pretty much. But it's just like... The Flash has more notable characters, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where Supergirl, it's like a bunch of aliens and stuff. It's like, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
And then speaking of The Flash was on. What was this episode? This episode was... Oh, yeah. So you saw the... If you're watching The Flash now, I don't want to go to...
That's fine.
End of the last one... King Shark showed up, and then Harrison Wells was there. So they meet up with Harrison Wells, and they're like, I'm Harrison Wells from Earth 2.
I heard this makes the show, like, the show got so much better just with Harrison Wells.
Oh, yeah, I love Harrison Wells. Like, that's why I was so glad they're like, which is, I thought they were going to do, because they're like, oh, we found a way to bring him back. I'm like, that's a great idea, because...
He was, like, the best part of the show. Because
he was pretty awesome. Like even though he's
great,
the villain.
Not the best part, but he's, like, a great part of the show.
He's a great part of the show. He's really... Like, I really love him as an actor. And I'm like,
oh, did you see the set pictures of Zoom that leaked out?
He showed up in the episode.
So. Holy shit. He looks horrifying.
Yeah. He's, like, all black.
Oh, God. It is very scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's like Venom. It's like a Venom.
Yeah, like, he has, like, this weird thing over his mouth that, like...
Yeah. So,
Not pleasant to look at.
Yeah. So, yeah, Harrison Wells is there, and he's like, and everyone's trying to get over the fact that he looks exactly like Harrison Wells. And he's like, he's kind of still like he's like a jerk, but he's not like, you don't think he's
bad. What
if
that was what, like, he's like a good person, like he's a good guy, he's not a bad guy, but he's a complete asshole.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. He's like, he's
like,
just like,
you're completely
unbearable. He's Tony Stark.
You're completely unbearable, but at least you're not killing Cisco.
Yeah. That's what they were saying. He's like, he saved my life. And he's like, it's some crazy leaps they just jumped to. Joe West walks up. They're in the Star Lab. Joe West walks up in there. He sees his face, and then he starts shooting him.
Holy shit.
He literally walks in the door, starts shooting, no questions asked, no talking, shoots him. Luckily, the Flash is there, and he saves him and stuff.
I mean, it makes sense, though.
I guess, but like...
If you saw someone like that...
But they know doppelgangers are coming. He already knows doppelgangers
are
coming.
That's very true.
And he just goes like... Harrison Wells is here. How are you still alive? I don't care. I'm going to shoot you when I see your face.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, so that happens. And so, like, Barry apparently, like, because he saved his life, he forgives him real fast.
He's a Flash fast.
It was like, he had a conversation. He's like, after Joe shoots him, he pulls him aside. He's like, you think this is easy for me? It's like, it seemed pretty easy for you to forgive him, even though it's like a totally different dude. But, like, he's like, how do you look at his face? He's like, it's really hard for me, but it didn't seem that hard. But anyways,
well, chances are Grant Gustin did it like this. It's really hard for me because that's how he says everything. He's very monotone. Well, actually,
he got emotional.
He got much better.
Yeah. He gets some. When they write it for him and they got the music going and write it, it works out. It's just most of that show's light, so there's not much of that
like,
point.
Flash coffee. First, I got a parade. Now I have a drink named after me. This is the best day of my life.
It's like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then they put him on the team, and then he had a history with Jay Garrick. So Jay Garrick comes there, and he's like, you can't trust this guy.
Jay Garrick is saying that? Or he's saying that about Jay Garrick?
No, Jay Garrick's saying that about Harrison Wells. Because he's like,
do you don't understand how bad our first Harrison Wells is?
Yeah. He's like, this
like,
guy...
Like, sure, this guy was an asshole to you?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he spilled coffee on your suit one time, and he didn't pay the dry cleaning bill. Our Harrison Wells killed one of us.
Yeah. It's like, it's a lot worse what ours did. So...
He also killed my mom, but made me the Flash.
Yeah.
So... Lesser of two evils. I don't know.
So this, so he says you can't trust him, but he's like, you don't understand. He's the one that created all these metahumans. He created Zoom and stuff. And he's like, for some reason they take Harrison Wells aside and they're like, screw Jay Garrick. We've known him for a couple weeks now and we're still not trusting him as much. So, they give him a chance and then Harrison Wells just, he seems like he's going to be on the team now, which like, if that's fine with me because he's so good. He's so good. And then what you saw earlier in the episode was a flashback on Earth 2, and then you realize Earth 2, Harrison Wells has a daughter.
Wow.
And then the little tease at the end is Zoom...
Kidnaps son.
Is, has his daughter kidnapped. And she's like, your father's not going to save you or whatever. So that's the little tease.
How exciting.
Yeah. So in the episode, it's the villain is Dr. Light. Dr. Light comes over and... Jay Garrick is running to Dr. Light before and he's like, Dr. Light doesn't kill, she just steals, she doesn't kill anybody.
It's okay, you guys, it's just like in Van Helsing when the vampires, every few days they come in, they take a few people, it's okay, we learn to live with it, but once you start, Van Helsing kills one of the vampires and it's all at war,
yeah.
And let's arrest Van Helsing.
Yeah.
I just saw Van Helsing again,
on
TV a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a shitty
movie. So that's
movie.
Kind of what happened. Jay Garrick says, don't mess with her. And then she ends up killing somebody. So like, now we got to go after her.
That's how you find out, though.
And then...
You trust Jay Garrick. I don't think he's the one to be trusted.
He isn't, because he's like...
He's like, it's
okay.
Harrison
Wells like tells the backstory. And he's like... It's like... Jay Garrick's like, I've been fighting Zoom like for years now. And he's like, you haven't been fighting Zoom. He's been playing with you. You've been running away from him. And he's like... Eventually, he ends up admitting... He's like, yeah, like I've been afraid, and I've been afraid for Barry to go after him because he's like
a
coward.
Jay Garrick is a coward. Man,
yeah.
He's a fucking lion.
He's running away
from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So Dr. Light, and then it's revealed. Dr. Light takes off her mask. It's Linda Park.
Who
is his ex girlfriend in the first season? Who shows up and who works for the paper with Iris? And then he's like, "What?" And it's like, "Oh, it's just a doppelganger."
Oh, of course.
So. So he says, Linda? And he's like, what? And then she figures out, oh, I have a doppelganger here. She's like, I'm going to kill my doppelganger. I didn't get her whole plan because she's like, she was going to kill her in public. And then people would know that it's not going to be her, but she was going to try to assume her life or something. It's weird.
That doesn't end up
happening, so they stop her. And that's really the episode because then they had that tease and stuff. Okay. So that's the Flash. Getting really good. I like it.
Nice.
Arrow, this is a Constantine episode.
Yes, I heard it leaked out online a few days earlier.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, it's kind of a weird way to introduce him, but it made sense for the show. But, like...
Do you think he's going to come back? Like, you think
he
he's
could,
be more regular?
He could, but it was literally, like, a one-off, like, in this episode. So it was, like,
How funny would it be if it was only half of the episode because they expected Constantine to still be running and they're going to do it?
Yeah. But it was literally like they wrote him in, wrote him out because there was a flashback on the island. That's where Oliver Queen meets Constantine.
Of course.
Because they're at like a... The whole thing on the island right now is weird. They're at a... You don't really know what's going on. What happens is... What is it, Argus? Whatever the organization is that's with Amanda Waller and all them, threw him back on the island, and he's got to infiltrate, like, a military group that's, like, making these guys harvest drugs or something, but there's something else going on that we don't know what's going on. So, for some reason, they accept him, and he's one of them, And then Constantine's brought in as one of their captives. And then Constantine, like, beats everybody up, and he's like, and Oliver said he knew where a certain thing was, so he brings him there. He helps Constantine out. So later in the episode, in the future, he gives Constantine a call, and he's like, you owe me one, or whatever. So he brings him in, and the whole episode in the present is Sarah Lance, who was the original Canary, was brought back from the dead out of the Lazarus pit, but she's not the same person, and they're saying, oh, her soul isn't, her body's here, but her soul's not here. So they get Constantine to go, they gotta go into the underworld to get her soul back.
Okay.
And that brings her back, and then they bring her back. That's how the episode ends.
Interesting.
So it was a weird, like, write them in, write them out episode. But it's like, I guess it's kind of cool, but it's just like, it's weird.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D., we find out who Lash is, which I'm surprised we found out this quickly. But Lash is the... he was actually working with S.H.I.E.L.D. He was a psychiatrist who was the ex-husband of Agent May in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that was like a big twist. It's like, because the episode before, Hydra was like, was going to kill him, and then somehow he survives at the beginning of this episode. You're like, what happened? So they flash us back and show what happened. So that was the whole thing. They were staking out. They were trying to find out Lash was the whole episode, and then we find out, but they still don't know. Or wait, no, they figure it out too. Or some of the characters know, some don't. So that's where we're left at that episode. So that's all I got.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I guess I saw Star Wars Rebels too.
Okay.
Which they brought somebody back from Clone Wars again, which is cool. One of these, he was a smuggler from Clone Wars, and he was like really old and stuff. And that was basically the episode of like him meeting up with the smuggler and them going through a thing, but. Yeah, it seems like I thought this episode, this show would be more Darth Vader oriented, but I guess they're just saving him for, because they still have Inquisitor. It's like the same thing, but
yeah.
There's going to be like a bunch of just filler episodes, it seems like, and then a lot of awesome episodes like sprinkled in there, which I'm really excited for those episodes, but there's going to be a lot of just mostly unnecessary stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool to see people. As long as they're bringing people in from Clone Wars, it's cool to me, because that's a good show. So, okay, that's it.
I watched all of Master of None.
Yes. I saw first two episodes.
Okay, so I saw all 10 episodes.
Yes.
Half-hour show. Aziz Ansari, Netflix. I loved it.
All What's Right about shows.
Yeah. So good. What was the second episode? Was the second episode Parents?
Parents. So good.
Fucking, it's such a great episode. So I saw that with my parents.
Oh, yeah?
Like, cause
that's awesome.
I think I watched the first five with my parents, and then it was like... got a little awkward, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna go outside.
Oh, like the first episode, dude, it's like starts off and it's like,
yeah, oh, right out the gate it was pretty awkward. Yeah, so but the second episode I thought was really good.
Yes, I
not yeah. just the second episode, obviously. Oh, yeah. I thought the whole show overall was very well made, but I think I want to watch it again. It was really good. Like,
yeah. For me, I just saw the first two episodes.
It's a lot like Louis, almost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I describe it's like his comedy set in real life.
Yeah.
That's what
it's like,
and expanded upon.
Yeah, because a lot of the stories, like if you know his routine, especially his newest routine, is like a lot of this stuff. And then a lot of like the relationship stuff is from his book. And then like some of the stuff, I think episode 3 has to do with like doing an accent and stuff, and that's like straight out of his like history, and like if you know him, you know about the stuff.
Yeah.
So
this is why I love Netflix, because
they're
taking
a chance.
I don't know where this show is on TV. Where's the show?
It's not.
It's not on TV. It's not gonna be on TV. Yeah. I mean, maybe in the future after they see what Netflix does on some stuff, like it helps, but like. I still, like, even, especially, like, network TV, they don't take any risks. Even after they've seen what Netflix has done, they're, like, still not taking risks and stuff. But
well, that's what I liked about this show, is it seemed to also care a lot about the characters. So it developed, like, his friend's character a lot.
Yeah.
Even his friend's dad's character, that episode was developed a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, Aziz's own dad, his character has developed a lot.
That's so cool.
So
I love that his parents play his parents.
Yeah, his parents being Israel. Oh, it's so good. So
I can't wait to watch the rest of them.
Yeah, it was like really enjoyable for me. And it's just very real. I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's exactly like Louis, but like if Louis were to do Louis, start Louis now, Louis were younger, but like Louis wouldn't make sense if he started Louis right now because Louis's too big.
Yeah.
Where that's why the current season Louis is like, but he's so big. I guess it's kind of like Jerry Seinfeld. Like,
yeah,
he's too big to be Jerry in that world, but when he started, he could have been Jerry in that world. Mm-hmm. Where Louis could have been Louis at that time because he wasn't that big when he was Louis first started. But Aziz is like already so big that he can't be Aziz in this world, so he's got to be Dev.
He's got to be Dev Shaw.
Yeah.
Found that last name. Mm-hmm. I was like, and I love the intro. As soon as it started, I was like, this is like Quentin Tarantino or something. Yeah, like the way it starts is like just great. And everything is just...
It's well made, well written.
Yeah, very well written, very well directed.
I was laughing the whole first two episodes.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, oh, man.
And like some of the time,
just that first episode, he's just talking to the kids. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, that was so great.
Oh, man.
So there's that. And then there's another episode where, like, you see him in a relationship and he's fighting. And you're like, oh, like, okay, I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. And then you see, like, another episode where he's, like, doing something else. And you're like, I know that feeling.
Is continuity coming to play?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it does. Yeah, because
the first episode, it doesn't seem like there is.
Yeah.
But then later on, it comes back.
Okay, cool.
And it was nice. I liked it a lot. I'm trying to think of other stuff that... I like how each episode had its own theme and stuff like that. It was very... I was like, I hope maybe they'd go longer next time. But 10... Mm. If he believes that he can make like 10 really solid episodes, I'm fine with 10 episodes.
Yeah. Because, like, you think it's a lot, but then you realize, like, oh, but they're half-hour episodes.
So yeah.
So really, like, 5 hours of content. But that's still quite a bit, but it's also, like...
For something on this quality, I think it's quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think... I read an article saying, like, oh, it's not just the best show on Netflix right now. It's, like, not just the best original Netflix show. It's the best show on TV right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'd believe that right now, like... I don't think there's anything else like it on TV that deals with real stuff. I think the next episode might be the race episode. And I thought that episode was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so funny.
Yeah, and also, it's realer than Louis, because Louis kind of gone off on this whole, like...
Like, dream world sometimes.
Yeah, kind of this, especially this last season, he just goes on these things that you're like... Like, he's trying to be, like, artsy about some stuff, which
like
is cool, but it's not, like... real, which I felt like some of the seasons of Louis were, but it's kind of like more bizarre and dreamlike.
Seems very real. At least that's the thing, I can't comment too much on it because A, I don't want to spoil it, but then B, also like the connection I have to the show is different than like a connection that you would have to the show.
Yeah,
or a connection,
but even
that,
the connection I have is way different than like
something like the average person
from,
I think,
some dude who doesn't know any people,
or like Edwin might have, because it's just like, it's just a different connection because it deals with, to me, it's very personal because it's like, he's talking about things that I think about.
Yeah.
Or he goes through things that I think about like regularly. So it's nice to have that on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's talking to more real stuff, and then it's talking about different, like real stuff to other people,
mm-hmm.
that like not, you don't see any of that. Like, I can't think of a show like you see. You don't go any of these places in other shows. Really.
Kind of like Fresh Off the Boat kind of did it, but now I think it's trying to get away from that too.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of like that, but then again, they're a network TV and they're just trying to...
Like in the second episode with the whole guitar thing.
Uh-huh.
Does he end up getting a guitar for his dad?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was that episode or not.
Yeah, it was the same one.
Yeah.
And then he got him lessons.
Yeah. So like after that I asked my dad, I was like, is there anything like you wanted that your dad never got you? My dad's like, my mom like named off all these things,
mm-hmm.
and my dad's like, no I had that no I had that. And I was like, interesting. And then I asked my mom, and she's like, when my dad wasn't there, she's like, no, if anything I was spoiled as a kid, my parents were excellent providers for us. And I was like, interesting. But it was like, I liked it a lot. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. It, It's a really good show.
I'm
just so excited to watch the end of it. I mean, probably have watched it all by next week.
Okay, let's move on to the video games. I played The Room 3 for iOS. So, like, randomly, I was in the App Store. I don't think I ever... Did I ever talk about The Room 2? Like, it's this game with, like, puzzles in it. And it's all these puzzles. Like, it's kind of like an escape room.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing it on your phone.
I think so.
But it's, like, the puzzles are really intense. And, obviously, it's very elaborate. Like, more elaborate than an escape room can be.
Yeah.
So, I've been waiting for The Room 3 for over a year, I think, almost now. Like, I tend to... But the first one I played really late, and then the second one came out, and I played and beat it like that weekend. And then the third one came out this week, and I played and beat it. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, I just get so addicted to these games where I'm just like trying to figure. I'm like, I constantly thinking about when I'm in the game. And so I beat it. This one has four endings, and to beat it. The first ending was 4 hours, like 3 hours and 59 minutes. Beat it completely 100% to get all three other endings was another two hours on top of it.
Do you restart from the beginning?
No.
Or like, how does that work?
After you beat it the first time, there's a new option that comes out that says change your fate. And you can go back and do things you didn't unlock because apparently there's other things that you can do.
But does it like push you on that path or you have to like randomly
So after go? The first one... The first time you play through it, they give you hints and stuff throughout that you can use that they don't penalize you for.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you beat it, there's no more hints. Mm. So it's like you have to figure out what you're doing. And it's like pretty involved. Like I'm like, oh, like I had this when I ended the game. I didn't know what to do with it. Now I know what to do with it. Stuff like that. So, and there's no like jump scares or anything. Some of it's kind of spooky, like because it's like takes place in a giant house where you're like, what's going on? But I love these games, and I hope there's a fourth one coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this one was like the best one so far, and I started replaying the first one, only to be disappointed. I think the second one was really good, too.
Yeah.
But I think the third one is $5. But, I mean, $5 for 6 hours or 4 hours of entertainment, I think, is really good value.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the graphics are just, like, amazing. Let me pull it up on my phone. Go buy it. It's like really spooky.
Mm-hmm. Does it have like creepy music too?
Yeah, let me play that a little bit.
A little bit.
So it told me I have discovered every secret, so there's no point in me doing this.
Why are you playing again?
Yeah.
It's like extra secret. You had to vlog it.
Like, see, like you...
Oh, that's cool. Do you, like, open up things and...
Yeah, you, like, can open up things and stuff like that.
Oh, that's
like
a big... That's pretty big.
It's a big... This one's a whole house. The first one was only, like, a room. So then there's, like, letters and stuff throughout. So you can, like, read the letter...
Yeah, it gives you clues and stuff.
Yeah. And then, like, you have these special glasses, and it, like, tells you. So there's, like, this was one of the first levels, and there's, like, a riddle all around this. So, like, sometimes you don't see anything, and then you're like, oh, let me look at the riddle.
That's pretty cool.
I dig it a lot. So, yeah. Play it. It is... This one was such a blast, I think. Like, you don't really have to know anything about the previous games. It's just, like, I think the previous games help you.
Is it, like, a story continuation, or is it, like, just...
Very loose.
Yeah.
Because it deals with, like, this netherworld called the Null, and, like, you're trying to escape, or, like, this guy gets letters and stuff. But I think you can easily play it. I think the only benefit from playing the first one is you know what you're looking out for and what kind of things, like, what sets off the puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
And that helps. But, I mean, 4 hours. And I like to think that I'm pretty good at these games.
Yeah.
So 4 hours is a long time. But then I was sad when I saw 4 hours because I was at work playing this game. And I was like, holy shit, I did nothing for 4 hours. And then I was like, let me try to figure out the last three puzzles. And then I was like, just at my desk, like, playing this game. And I was like, 2 more hours go by. And I'm like, holy shit, I did nothing today. I ate, like, 2 bagels. And I...
Beat the game.
Beat the game. And then I did, like, the bare minimum of work I needed to do. So, yeah. Now it's time for our discussion. Favorite veteran. Do you remember what yours was last week?
I do. I don't think we have the same one, though.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we have the same one. Now that I saw, because I ended up Googling it, there's like there a list. Lot. There's yeah. a lot. Okay, so Edwin says his is Morgan Freeman,
ooh.
Who I did not know was a veteran.
Either did I.
I found, let me look up that list, though. So mine was Rob Riggle.
Oh, last. We did have the same one.
Okay.
We did have the same one. I didn't think we were going to after I thought about it for a while.
Oh, no, I was like, Rob Riggle, like, of course.
I actually thought that too.
Navy SEAL.
He's the guy I always hear about.
Yeah, but then did you end up looking it up?
I didn't look it up. Well, I looked him up just to make sure. I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he is. Like, famously, he is.
Yeah.
But then I found a list of actors who served in the U.S. military. And I thought I'd run through that list a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
And then it also tells you what they did. So I think, like, Mr. T was one. Yeah. Chuck Norris was in the Air Force for 4 years. James Earl Jones was in the Army for 1 year, First Lieutenant. Charles Durning from The Sting, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Tootsie, Dog Day Afternoon. He was in the Army during World War II. William Sanderson was in the Army. Jamie Farr was in MASH. He was also the only cast member of MASH to serve during the Korean War. Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue and Die Hard 2. He was in the Army in Vietnam. Mel Brooks was in the Army for World War II. Clint Eastwood was in the Army. Bill Cosby was in the Navy. Robert Duvall was in the Army. James Garner, Moses Gunn, Ice-T, Don Knotts, Bob Newhart, Elvis Presley, obviously, mm-hmm. Tom Selleck, Telly Savalas, Mr. T, Gene Wilder, Ernest Borgnine, Mike Farrell, Jonathan Winters, Steve McQueen, another classic, Paul Newman, Audie Murphy, Kirk Douglas, Henry Fonda, Lee Marvin, Wayne Morris, Rod Steiger, James Stewart, Tony Curtis, Randy Couture, Charlton Heston, John Amos, Jack Klugman, Richard Klein, Wayne Rogers, Drew Carey was in the reserves. Sinbad. Blake Clark from Toy Story 3 and 50 First Dates. He was the dad in 50 First Dates. Oh. Also the water boy. He was in the Army. Morgan Freeman. He was in the Air Force. Beaver from Leave It to Beaver was in the Air Force Reserve. Sherman Hemsley from the Jeffersons was in the Air Force. He dropped out of school and served for 4 years. Roy Scheider from Jaws was in the Air Force for 3 years. Fred Ward. Leonard Nimoy. Richard Pryor. Humphrey Bogart. James Avery. Dean Jones. Vincent Pastor from like Goodfellas and all those mafia movies. Don Rickles. Harry Dean Stanton, Spencer Tracy, Jesse Ventura, Bob Crane, Clifton James, Ted Knight, Sidney Poitier, Fred Willard, Don Adams, Bea Arthur. She was in the Marines. She served during World War II. R. Lee Emery, obviously. He served in Vietnam in the Marines. Gene Hackman, Ernie Hudson. George C. Scott, James Whitmore, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., Harvey Keitel, Clark Gable, that was one of them, Charles Bronson, Buster Keaton, Jack Lemmon, Jack Palance, Jerry Reed, Rip Taylor, Cesar Romero, Steve Reeves, Chris Christopherson, Dennis Weaver, Ed Asner, Barry Corbin. So, bunch of people.
Yeah.
Here I was thinking, like, Rob Riggle's the only guy.
Me too.
Totally forgot about Morgan Freeman and Clint Eastwood and R. Lee Emery. Obvious people, really.
Yes, you would think.
So, next week, I thought of this one. I don't know if we've ever done this one. But it's favorite tie-in product for any entertainment. So, like, it could be cereal, or it could be, like, the voice recorder from Home Alone. Hmm. It could be anything. Like, Hi-C with the Ecto-1 cooler or Ecto-Cooler flavor.
So, okay.
So, like, anything, anything. That, like, any product.
So, it
product,
doesn't have to be, like tape recorder that we used in the plot. Or sometimes they do.
Like, sometimes they make a toy for them. Like, the action, was it Action Man?
Yeah. Like, sometimes they'll do a commercial where, like, a Dr. Pepper for Spider-Man or something like that?
No. That I want count? It to be, like, more if it's, like, if it's a Dr. a Spider-Man flavor.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, something like that. So, if it's, like, directly tied in with the movie.
Ah. But, like, the recorder, they didn't have a Home Alone edition of that recorder, did they?
The toy was made after that movie.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah. Hmm. So... Yeah.
All right. I think I know.
Okay. Come back tomorrow for America's Sweetheart. This Week in Movies in the Now. And Trailer Talk. And nothing's on Netflix again. There's something tomorrow, though.
Yeah. Bare week. Actually, the end of the week. The weekend, there's a lot on Netflix.
Yeah.
Not much during the week.
Yeah. Come back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Pizzas. Until next week, grab a slice and enjoy. Goodbye.